armchair.
There's something, I'll say there's something kind of yee about a kid that's never played baseball.
We have been hoodwinked, bamboozled, and flat out deceived.
Why did you get so drunk?
You got drunk. I'm just really exhausted.
What's in that cup?
Rum and Cokes.
Do you have any idea how important
you
this is?
Have
I'm trying
any
to save
idea?
The pump. Really, this
do
is what you're
have
doing?
Any
this
idea?
Is what you're
doing?
Chief, what do you want to do tonight?
The same thing we do every night. Try to take over the world.
106 miles to Chicago. We got a full tank of gas, half a pack of cigarettes. It's dark, and we're wearing sunglasses. Hit it.
Armchair.
YouTube Live.
Radio Station.
The radio station you can call your own. Do you know what listeners like about our station?
I like everything. It's always on my radio.
We never stop the music, except for now, when I talk.
You're listening to Braves Country with Mac McGee and the Armchair Quarterbacks. We're here live weekdays, 3 p.m. Eastern to 5 p.m. Eastern, WQEE 99.1 FE, and simulcasting on YouTube.com/@Braves Country. Your first choice for Southern sports. Good afternoon. I'm Mac McGinn. I don't know much, but I know one thing. The Braves are finally retiring Andrew Jones's number 25, and they're doing it on my birthday night. I'm pretty sure there's going to be some time travel in that evening.
Armchair.
Community Access Channel.
He's the armchair quarterback. He's full of beer and he's full of snacks. The All-American Man.
Hey, howdy, hi, and how the hell are you? I hope all y'all are doing great. We are. We got so many things going on right now this week. If you really think about this, just from... Put all the nonsense aside, the politics aside. Don't care about that. You've got Easter week. You've got the Masters. Major League Baseball is in full swing. And by the way, tonight they're going to crown a champion in men's college basketball. And the good news is, for a lot of us, it won't be the Miami Hurricanes. It won't be the Miami Hurricanes. They went a packing. They're going home. And just like I suspected, they got thumped. And this doesn't mean Miami didn't have a good season. They really did. I like to give Hurricane fans a hard time. They had a very good season. But from what I have seen, no one's beating UConn. I do believe San Diego State, and I mentioned this last week, that they had the best chance of anyone in the Final Four to take them down because of the style of basketball that they play and the defense that they play. But they're going to have to hit shots, and that's going to be key. But other than UConn getting bored, they have just played outstanding. What slimmer of hope the Hurricanes had in the second half of that game, if you watched it, and I know it got pretty bad ratings, but if you did watch it, from what I saw, when they got the lead down to boys around 8, it was really just UConn falling asleep at the wheel, not pushing as hard as they probably should. And there you have that. But they ended up putting the pedal back on the gas, as they say, and the rest is history. I'm trying to straighten up the scoreboard that I have over my shoulder here on the YouTube channel, Braves Country HD. If you're just joining us, the Brewers lead the Mets 1-0, and that game is in the bottom of the fourth. The very first play of the game, the very first pitch of the game, the Mets' Carlos Carrasco got a pitch violation. So he took too long, and away we go. So there, it didn't cost him anything. The run came later in the game. But it was like, here we go. And of course, Carrasco is one of the old heads, and he was banged up a little bit in the spring. So he should have had enough time to get used to it, but I'm sure jitters first game of the season, and you're just not thinking about it. But there was an interesting play for you Braves fans, William Contreras. It should have been a strike him out, throw him out. There was a strike him out, throw him out. I want to say that what might have been first inning. It could have been second. I was getting ready for the show and doing all the stuff that I do in the background, prepping for the show And so normally I have games going on or the news going on for the games or whatever. And then I got to record the sports flash and all that stuff. So while I'm doing this, I look up and I heard the announcers mention it, the Milwaukee feed. And they were right because the pitch should have been a strike at the knees of Contreras throughout McNeil. But when he slid into second, I think it was Adames, but don't quote me on that. Adames applied the tag and the ball popped out. So it should have been a strike him out, throw him out. But instead, the ball popped out. McNeil's on second and there was, and the batter had another life. Now, Mets ended up scoring, so much to do about nothing. But almost an incredible play, and I found that interesting because, look, with the shortened bases, and we know that the Mets are very familiar with William Contreras, all the years that he played in Atlanta, they knew that they could run on him, and they went after him. That's always been the big question about Contreras is could he keep runners close by? And I still think that is the number one reason with the shortening of the bags. That is the number one reason why the Atlanta Braves traded him away and brought in Sean Murphy, because they want to have that glove. It was on display this weekend. Sean Murphy made a couple of very good plays. And the one that really stuck out to me was the throw that he made down to second yesterday. Now the Braves lose, but we're still essentially in first place, tied in the loss column. Mets come into this game 3-1. We're 2-1. They played one extra game as they took down the Marlins. The Marlins are still what the Marlins always are, and they're going to be a pain when the Braves play them. But they still are what they always are, and that is a team that pitches very well and just doesn't have any offense. And they couldn't get offense going. I thought Trevor Rogers pitched pretty well yesterday for them. But yesterday's game, if you caught the Braves game, I know a lot of Braves fans are up in arms and blah, blah, blah. First of all, quick news, Jared Schuster, he gone. He's already been optioned. Now, I think that was already realistically the plan. But what that tells me is that Dylan Dodd all along was going to be the guy that they were going to give more than one start to. So Dylan Dodd goes tomorrow night. We're going to have the call right here on Braves Country HD, 7:45 Eastern for the St. Louis Cardinals. Tuesday nights and Friday nights, we've always got it going. And then, of course, this week, the Wednesday game, I'll put the schedule up in the on the screen here in a minute. But Wednesday's game is going to be broadcasted on Braves Country HD. That is a 1:15 start. That's a day game. We do Friday night and then Sunday night this week, not Saturday afternoon, because they're on Sunday Night Baseball. And that's what we try to do when they're on Sunday Night Baseball. We try to bring that to you because we know a lot of folks can't get a hold of it. So busy week, obviously, for us. And of course, we're here every day. But yesterday, Schuster just pit. I think it was nerves. He pitched really poorly. In the first inning, if you miss it, give up the four runs. After that, he settled down, pitched pretty well. Now, the thing is, he didn't have a lot of swing. He missed, only had one strikeout, and that concerns you. But he's already been sent down. Dodd's going to get the nod tomorrow. They'll end up putting Max Fried on the IL tomorrow at some point. And when they do that, it'll be interesting to see what move they make. Now, they may actually do it this evening. But you can bring up realistically another pitcher. Will they try to wing this with four? Because remember something on the 11th, and that is the 11th is what? Next Wednesday. The 11th, you have Kyle Wright coming off the IL if everything goes well. So if they can piece it together, there's a good chance that they're going to bring up another reliever and then can just kind of figure it out. And then as that goes along, or, you know, look, they could bring up another stick, but usually the Braves go an extra arm and then piece that along. That will get them to the game where Wright's going to come in. Now, the big question would be, because the Braves don't have a day off, once you send Schuster down there, that means that there is no way that Schuster can come up for 10 days. But my guess is Wednesday, you're going to see a move made. And I don't think it's going to be Ian Anderson. I think it's going to be Bryce Elder. He pitched on Friday. He pitched okay. Didn't. I mean, the Braves won. It was a walk-off by Shoemake. But other than that, he pitched okay. But it would be his turn to pitch. And it would work out well for them to just bring Elder up. So we'll see what happens with that. That would be my guess. We're trying to piece together this pitching staff till guys come back. And it's rough because you had Schuster. Tomorrow you've got another rookie, Dodd, and then Elder most likely on Wednesday. Tonight it is Charlie Morton. All right, we're going to take a quick break. When we come back, the Sarge is with us, and we have got us some American League East baseball to talk about. We're going to talk about a couple other things, including the Masters. The Masters starts on Thursday. We'll be back in a flash here on Braves Country and Braves Country HD, wherever you stream.
It's the best in sports and entertainment. And get locked in and locked down with Rhino Radio Penitentiary, 7 a.m. to 10 a.m. with your host, me, Ryan O'Neill, each and every morning right here with the best in sports and entertainment, all the way from professional sports to college sports to River Dragons hockey and everything in between, including some of the very best local and national guests. It's the Rhino Radio Penitentiary, 7 a.m. to 10 a.m. Monday through Friday, right here on 99.1 FM WQEE.
Tuesday Night Baseball on Braves Country HD. Atlanta Braves travel to St. Louis, Missouri, heading into Busch Stadium, 7:45 Eastern first pitch. It'll be Dylan Dodd's Major League debut. He'll be going head-to-head with the Cardinals' Steven Matz. We'll come on Braves Country HD at 7:15 Eastern for the pregame show and starting lineups. Catch pitch-by-pitch, play-by-play with your Atlanta Braves this Tuesday night, April 4th, 7:45, first pitch, Braves Country HD.
Whenever I bring home Entenmann's Little Bites muffins.
Little Bites?
That's right, sweetie. Can you just give Mommy a minute?
I love Little Bites.
I know you do, but we're doing a commercial right now, okay?
Got it.
As I was saying, whenever I bring home you-know-what, you-know-who gets pretty excited. And so do I. Little Bites muffins are made with real ingredients. No high fructose corn syrup and are baked moist and delicious.
I love Little Bites.
Here you go.
Yes.
Entenmann's Little Bites muffins. The perfect portion of happiness.
I only drink alcohol on days that start with a T. So that's Tuesday, Thursday, today, tomorrow, Saturday, and Sunday.
Welcome back, Braves Country. Braves Country today on 99.1 FM The Key and simulcasting on Braves Country HD wherever you stream YouTube. And joining us on Mondays, it must be Mondays because the Sarge is with us and he's ready to talk some Red Sox baseball and that incredible stroke of luck of the idiot in left field who probably had to walk back to Baltimore that dropped a ball, and then Adam Duvall, one of our favorite ex-Braves, hits a dong over the freaking wall, and it's party time in Boston. How are you, Sarge?
I'm doing great, brother. Baseball's back. It counts now. Things are good here.
So, were you watching that live, by the way?
I was, yes.
I loved your reaction to me when I said, because when you first texted me about it, because I obviously didn't see it live because I was doing the Braves broadcast, and then afterwards I jumped right off to watch the Final Four, and you said something about Duvall in a text, and I said, what, did you get one? And you said, yeah. And so there was the next morning, I always watch the highlights that they have condensed on the MLB app, which is phenomenal, by the way. And I'm watching, wait a minute. Like, I'm in the middle of making breakfast for the wife and the dogs and everything. I was like, wait, hold on a second. And back it up. I was like, this guy really just dropped a ball that would have ended the game in left field. And it was a camp shot, y'all. It was not like a tough play. It was literally a can of corn. And what got me over and over again is they kept showing the replay of Home Skillet looking at his glove like there was a hole in his glove.
In his defense, it was twilight, and that's a difficult time at Fenway with the lights and everything, but...
No. I'm not going to give him an intense defense. I'm going to tell you something. A, the game's on the line. B, you are a schmomo playing for the Orioles trying to make it in this league. And the game is the final out of the game. Catch it with two hands.
Two hands.
Whatever happened, two-hand catch when you can do it.
Yep, they've taught you that since Little League. So I was trying to help him out. I'm very grateful to him, but I don't think he had to buy any beer that night in Boston. But, you know, that really obviously kept the game going. But Duvall did still have to hit it out, and he did. And that he was feet away. I mean, a couple of feet away from having a three-homer game. And he wasn't.
I told you were going to love him, man. I told you, I thought it was a great signing when they signed him. We'll see if his health holds up playing center, but he played great center field for the Braves. Very solid. He's not going to win a gold glove out there, but he's very solid. He's not going to spit the bit. Once he gets his surroundings in Fenway, he'll be even better. But the guy can hit. And the thing that I liked about this signing more than anything else is you got that short porch in left field. He was born to play in Fenway Park.
Well, and also he's hitting it. His three big hits, one was down the pesky pole, one was out in the triangle, and then the other one was over the monster. So he's not just pulling it, you know, he's spraying it around quite a bit. And he's already made his mark in Boston. He's become very popular very quickly.
Yeah, he's a fun cat to follow. I even picked him up in a couple of my best ball leagues for fantasy baseball just because I think he's going to hit. Honestly, if I was going to candy cap right now, I think he's going to get at least 35 home runs. And depending on where they have him in the order, he's going to have 80 to 95 RBI. And what can you and would you get him for $7 million? I think.
Yeah.
It was right. A 1 year deal for $7 million. And it was a smart move by him, smart move by Boston, smart move by him because when he finishes this year up, he's going to be able to double up with somebody. You know, he may stay in Boston, but they're not going to get him for $7 million this time.
Right.
Now, he's getting older. I get that. But he's a lot of Braves fans wanted to bring him back. I would have loved to see him bring him back. The problem was, We flushed $16 million down the toilet to Ozuna, and it is what it is. If they could do it and turn back time, they would have never signed Ozuna. They would have signed Duvall to a long-term deal, which he would have taken at the time for a very affordable rate, and that would have been that. But it is what it is. But I pull for the guy. You know, as long as he's not playing the Braves, I hope he does well.
Yeah, he's. You know, he plays a solid center field from what I've seen so far. It's obviously a very small sample size. You know, we've only had one series. But I will, you know, I was thinking in the car today about, okay, the first series is over and done with. What's the positives? What's the negatives? Things like that. And we scored a lot of runs, which is the positive. But I'm of the opinion, if you score 9 runs, you should never lose. And we did, you know. Opening day didn't go our way. We came back. There's a lot of fight in this group, which I like because I'm going to watch every game anyway, whether they're first place or last place. And it seems to me like they are reveling in not being under the microscope so much, you know, because nobody expects them to win. I think it's going to be great for Yoshida because, you know, when Daisuke came over, they were, oh, he has this, you know, new pitch and he's going to throw no hitters like no tomorrow and all this stuff. And so every pitch was scrutinized and everything. It's not really going to be that way for our Japanese player this year. I think it's a good year for him to come over.
Well, I think there's a big difference between being a hitter and being a pitcher, because when you're a starting pitcher, especially because if you remember, Dice K got a pretty hefty salary. They expect you to every, because you, they only see you about 30 times a year, best case scenario nowadays. They expect you to go to the post, and you're supposed to go out there and get a quality start. And if you don't, then something's wrong. Yoshida is going to be able to hide right in the middle of that lineup. And he's a solid hitter. I loved the signing at the time. I still think that Boston is going to be, I think the entire division is going to be much higher than their, all their Pecota rankings. My biggest question would be with the Red Sox would be their starting pitching. Sale looked terrible.
Three innings,
7 runs, but it is just the first start. How concerned are you about Sale?
If, you know, he's had 11 starts in 2 years with Boston. Think about that. The money we've thrown at this guy, and he's got 11 starts before the other day. Now he has 12. And
by the way, speaking of ex-Brave outfielders that the Braves fans all love, Jock Peterson just slammed one over the freaking fence, top of the second, 1-0 San Francisco over the White Sox. Anyways, go ahead.
It is the first game of the season and all that. I just don't have anything to back him up. If I was to say something positive, I don't really have anything to back that up with. You know, 11 starts in 2 years when you are our ace and you come out and give up 3 dingers in the first inning, you know, I mean, I could do that. And I don't know. Am I concerned?
That's look, I still feel like that his ceiling isn't what it used to be, but it's still higher than a lot of guys on that staff. Are you going to get what you expected when you first signed? No. He's not that Cy Young level anymore, I don't think. But he could start piecing some things together. Thing about Sale is I was looking at his career, and evidently he always starts slow, so I wouldn't panic yet.
Right.
Some guys, but pitchers and hitters, some guys, man, they just don't get it together. Some guys come out extremely hot and fade at the end. I think of guys like Starlin Marte of the Mets. He's normally really hot. Now last year was different because he was injured, but he normally starts out really well. So you kind of have to take it with a grain of salt.
Absolutely. Big Poppy never came out hot. You know, month of April, there was 1 year that didn't have a homer until like April 28th or something. And people were always over, he's done with, and he wound up, you know, winning every freaking award you can. So, again, it's a very small sample size. I have more concerns about his name escaped me all of a sudden. He just went blank. The opening day, what's his name? Kluber. Kluber. There we go. He didn't look awesome either. And
no, but I will tell you this. I don't worry that much about it because the first week of the season, Kluber's another. He's a vet, man. He pitched pretty well last year. He's not what he used to be, but if he was, he wouldn't be in Boston, because if he was making the kind of money that he was in worth the kind of money that he was worth a few years ago, Boston's not signing those guys right now for whatever reason.
Right.
So he's a – on most staffs, when you talk about a team that's going to make a run at the playoffs, Corey Kluber's a number 3, maybe number 4 pitcher.
Yeah.
They just don't have an ace right now until – Chris Sale gets back to where he was. What the Red Sox have essentially put together is a bunch of 3s and 4s trying to piece together a starting rotation.
Right.
Taylor has different for Red Sox fans because they've, you know, and look, let's be honest, they've been spoiled over the years. And now it's like, what in the world are they doing? I still don't understand why you're not getting any offseason big time splashes like you used to in Boston. it feels almost like that they're starting to run the team almost like not quite. I wouldn't say they're as cheap as the Brewers, but just barely a step above it, where you're like, man, are we even going to do anything this offseason, right?
Well, so, here's what they are saying. They are trying Dombrowski just disintegrated our, you know, minor league teams, stuff like that. But what they're trying to build is kind of like the early 90s Yankees, you know, when they had the core four.
In the meantime, why does that mean that you can't go sign guys? I get you don't want to trade.
That I don't have a good answer for. Now, I think it's time to call a spade a spade. This is a rebuild. I mean, they won't use that word in Boston. We're the Red Sox. The Yankees and the Red Sox don't rebuild. But what else can you call it, I think?
Yeah, and it's been going on for a few years now.
Yeah.
You know,
I'm fully.
How long has Mookie been over in L.A.?
I'm not in a place spiritually I can talk about Mookie yet. But 3 years. He the end of the 20.
Don't worry, because he's playing second base a lot of days now there for whatever reason. So don't worry, he's standing side by side with freaking Freddie Freeman. So I get it.
Yeah,
the Dodgers are the devil. That's
he's playing second base because that's what he came up as.
I'm not as upset as when Swanson left to go to the Cubs. First of all, because I don't really hate the Cubs necessarily. I've never been a Cubs fan, but they're not like my go-to, oh, this team just buys everything. But the other thing was, they were never going to give Dansby Swanson $177 million. Just wasn't going to happen. Now when you got all the other guys. But Freeman felt like when it's all said and done, all the drama that took place last year, et cetera, and most Braves fans know what I'm talking about, so I'm not going to get in the weeds of it. But the Freeman thing felt like his agent did him dirty and didn't tell him the real deal, and that's how he ended up in L.A. And you almost wonder if the agent got an extra kickback on it. Because a guy who was ready to leave doesn't cry at the first press conference when he comes back to Truist Park last summer.
That's true. I mean,
physically cry. That's a different one. I don't expect Dansby to cry. I think Dansby's just going to go, hey, it's great to be home. I'm from here. You know, you would think Dansby would be more attached to it, but I think he knew where his bread was going to get buttered, and it wasn't going to be in Atlanta. He was going to get a good contract if he stayed, but he was never going to get the kind of money that the Cubs were trying to build a brand. And sometimes you overpay for that brand. Look, it's the same thing. If the Atlanta Falcons bring in Lamar Jackson, give him all that guaranteed money and the draft picks, and a lot of fans are going to sit there, the first thing they're going to say is, oh, they overpaid for him. Lamar Jackson's not worth it, et cetera, et cetera. That's not why you're bringing Lamar Jackson to the Atlanta Falcons. You're doing it to build a brand. You're doing it to put butts in the seats and sell them jerseys. Because I'm just going to give you an example. Oh, I wish I had a really – oh, I got a perfect example. Shohei Ohtani's a free agent this year, right? If he goes and he signs with the Boston Red Sox, how long is it going to take for you to get on MLB.com and go get you a jersey of Shohei?
Not very long. That way I can start my Mookie one.
Yeah, if you don't buy it, it'll be under the Christmas tree. I guarantee you. I guarantee you.
Yeah.
So if your wife's listening, you already know what his Christmas present is. If Shohei Ohtani becomes Red Sox, don't even think about what it could be.
Yeah, I can assure you she is not.
don't get him a saw. Yeah. But
what's a saw?
but you know, if someone I saw the game last night. But that type of thing, now that's on a much bigger level than Dansby, obviously. But that's what the Cubs are trying to do. They were trying to build a brand, and I get it. And, you know, his wife plays some version of soccer up there. I don't know. NWSL, I think, but I don't know. The point of that whole thing is Dansby is there to sell jerseys and season tickets for fans to go, all right, now we're trying. And that's what the Red Sox are looking for. They're looking for that on a larger level, but they're looking for, where's our Freddie Freeman signing, right? Where's our, because normally for years and years and years, the Red Sox usually have one a year.
Yeah.
It's very rare that they don't.
Yeah. I mean, think about it. Manny, Poppy, JD, the list goes on and on and on. And that's just the
reason. You ever think you'd see a day where the Red Sox and the Yankees were clipping coupons and the Mets are spending it like a drunken sailor?
Right. And the Padres are, you know.
Yeah.
Making out there, you know.
I'm convinced the San Diego Padres are involved with the drug cartel in Southern California. Where are they getting this money from?
Yeah, I mean, seriously.
He just locked up Cronenworth to, what, a 7-year, $80 million deal? Like, that guy's worth that? I mean, it's absurd.
You can almost buy San Diego, like the city, for what the guy is paying the Padres players. I mean, it's ridiculous. But God bless them. You know, they've had a long time coming, so.
No, look, I don't even hate on the Padres because, look, if they're a thorn in the Dodgers side, that's great, but where is this money coming from?
I don't know, man.
They're a fairly big market. They're one of the larger markets in the country, but it's not New York and it's not Los Angeles. So when you see them outspending those two, you're like, wait, what? What just happened? Xander Bogaerts is going where?
Yeah, must be new money. Because he.
Oh, it is. It's cartel money. I'm telling you, man, there's something going on.
You heard it here first, folks.
It is, whatever it is, it ain't legal. I guarantee you that. Because, I mean, this is up here. It's not quite Kansas City Royals, but this is the equivalent to me of, you know, if you're going to take a team that's east of the Mississippi, this is like all of a sudden not even Tampa Bay. I'm trying to think of a team a little closer to home for people to understand.
The Marlins in 97.
Who's that?
The Marlins in 97.
Yeah, but they never spent. They traded their farm system away, got a great team, won the World Series, and then they had to send them all out because they were free agents. You know what it is? It's almost Pittsburgh, right? Where it's a pretty good sized market, but you don't think of them as being like that dominant market.
No, that's Steeler Nation. The Pirates are the stepchild. Yeah.
Right. So it's a little alarming when you see that. You know what it's like? It's like when the Toronto Raptors went out there and started signing a bunch of NBA players, won a championship. Wait, what? Toronto, the Raptors, where'd that come from? I didn't even know that they watched basketball. I thought we just had a team up there for tax breaks or something. Because I'm convinced that that's what they do with the hockey teams down here in Florida. I don't meet one person who watches any of the hockey games down here. Not one. And if I do, they're not from here. They're all like, you know, transplants and the, and you ask them about the Lightning and what do they say? Yeah, man, they're cool, man. But you know, I love my Blackhawks. I love my Red Wings. They're just transplants. I think you have to live in the city of Tampa to actually like, you know, be into that. Cause I can't even watch the Lightning here. I can't watch the Lightning or the Panthers if I wanted to. I can't watch the Heat or the Magic if I wanted to. Because they're blacked out, and the only way for me to do it would be to go through, you know, illegal ways, and it's really not worth it. All right, let's go ahead and take a quick break. When we come back, we're going to take a look at this week in Major League Baseball in the American League East. We're also going to dive into the Masters, which starts this Thursday. We'll be back in a flash here on Braves Country and Braves Country HD, wherever you stream.
Got a beer? 7 o'clock in the morning. Scotch?
Armchair.
It's time to live, laugh, and create memories again with MSC Cruises. Join us on some of the world's most modern and innovative ships. Discover again at our new private island, Ocean Key MSC Marine Reserve, named Best New Cruise Destination. Cruise the Caribbean and Bahamas from Miami or Port Canaveral. Book now with free balcony upgrades and flexible booking changes. Call your travel advisor or visit MSCCruises.com. Restrictions apply. MSC Cruises, a world of discovery.
Hockey season, and that means new merch over at OurDragonsMerch.com. Get the latest designs and some of our fun new souvenirs ahead of what's sure to be a great hockey season. Celebrate another season of River Dragons hockey by getting a new look to wear on game days, or surprise the big-time sports fan in your life with a new keepsake that will make them a River Dragons fan for life. Order online right now at OurDragonsMerch.com. That's the letter R, DragonsMerch.com. We'll see you at the rink.
Armchair Quarterbacks on YouTube Live. We cover Braves baseball, Red Sox, Yankees, Rays, Cubs and Cardinals, and the rest of Major League Baseball every day. Your first choice for sports talk live from the First Coast.
How to improve your dining room by the Home Depot. New wood floors, new paint on the walls. Sure, you know us for that. But how about a new dining room table, matching chairs, bar stools? How about free and flexible delivery with easy online returns? Now you can explore decor in a whole new way. Save now on furniture. Everything for your home. Everything from HomeDepot.com. How doers get more done. Limitations apply.
This helpful instructional message from the National Association of People Who Have Trouble Walking and Chewing Gum at the Same Time. Step, chew. Step, chew. Step, chew. Step, chew.
Welcome back to Braves Country. Mac McGee and the Armchair Quarterbacks. Weekdays, 3 to 5 p.m. Drive Time on WQEE. Welcome back. Brewers all over the Mets. How about it? It's showing 6-0 there. But I can tell you this, I just saw a home run. I'm pretty sure that was a grand slam. And I turned away for a second, Timus, but I think it's 10-0. I'll wait till all the junk comes off the screen where they have to tell you exit velo and what the guy had for breakfast. Yep, it's 10-0 Brew Crew. Get it. And I don't know what's okay. The Giants Sox game, Disco Stick, the Discofini. I'm not 100% sure how we pronounce his name, but I've always heard him called Disco Stick. He actually was played college ball at the University of Florida. I didn't see the whole play. I'm waiting for them to rerun it. He got into it with the White Sox player as they were walking back. I'm thinking he was covering the bag and something happened. So I'll look into that here in a second. But we got this. We got the scores up on the screen. Giants 2-0. Brewers 10-0. Whoa. How about it? That's that Carlos Carrasco that everyone in New York has been talking about. How he's, I actually heard a breakdown from a Mets fan talking about how one of the reasons why the Mets are going to win the division this year. One of the things he was leaning on was Carlos Carrasco. I was like, what? Carlos Carrasco? It's been 4 or 5 years since he's been considered a top line front starter. All right. Before we get back into a little baseball, the Masters, who are you liking to win it this year, T?
It's so hard to win it once. Everybody has picked Scheffler to repeat. I don't know. I mean, he's playing great golf right now, but 2 years in a row, that's a tall order. I want McElroy. I just don't know if he's there right now. What I would like to happen is Tiger to make the cut and be in it somewhat on.
I think everybody would love that because it brings more interest to the game when
absolutely does. Tiger. I'm
not expecting especially him. That tournament, that particular tournament. I mean, they might as well rename it the Woods. You know, it's his tourney.
I don't expect him to be in the final pairing or anything, but if he could be 5-6 shots off the lead on starting Sunday morning, everybody's going to tune in just to see. You know, I really, really like John Rahm. I think he's probably going to be there on Sunday. Let's see. I have two or three things pulled up here. Tiger 60-1 to win it. And Justin Rose is 70-1. I mean, did you ever think you'd see that? I think it's going to be maybe Dustin Johnson could be the dark horse as well.
Man, everybody wants to go to Dustin Johnson, but I feel like he hasn't been dominant in quite some time.
That's what I'm saying. He would be the dark horse if it happened. I'm going to go with these three, McElroy, Rahm, and Spieth. I think Spieth is due, and if he can keep it. I mean, Masters is not quite as much the U.S. Open as far as if you can keep it in the fairway, you've got a shot, but it really helps. And so would I like to see Tiger in it? Obviously, I hope he makes the cut. It's just better for golf. And I'm excited, though. I'm not going to be able to see the Saturday too much of on Saturday. I'm going to see the Red Sox in Detroit. But I'm going to definitely try to be there Sunday, Thursday, and Friday.
Who's pitching for the Sox that day?
That I don't know.
Well, I got the favorites here, and it looks like Scheffler's 5-1. Rory McIlroy looks like he's almost 8-1. John Rahm 9-1. Spieth 15-1. Cam Smith 20. Colin Morikawa is 20. I mean, I'll tell you what, if I'm lay a bet, I'm probably gonna lay a bet on Rahm. He just seems like a dude.
Right. Yeah.
I mean, 9-1. I really like, I'm not taking Scheffler at 5-1. To win a golf tournament is incredibly hard. To win the Masters is even more difficult, and you're only getting 5-1 odds. And I get it that he's been playing very well, but every time that happens, the Masters come around, they don't necessarily come out of nowhere, but it's very rare to me that the favorite wins.
I know. That's the hard part about choosing these things, because you never – I mean, and we're not talking the Tiger days, you know, when he was winning everything. Before and after that, you just really have no idea. One, you don't know if somebody's, you know, all your – be working. You can't blow your second shot. You have to put it on the fairway. Your pitching has to be, your putter has to be hot. A lot of things have to go right for you to be even be there on Saturday and Sunday.
I'll do one that I do like. 35-1. Put a little scratch on that. Hideki Matsuyama, 35-1.
I like Matsuyama. Fun to watch. He's a good, great golfer.
I can tell you right now, there's no way in the world I'm not putting five bucks on Tiger Woods to win it. There's just no way I'm not. Because if he wins it, I don't want to go, oh, man.
Yeah. Wouldn't that be something, though, if Tiger came out and won this thing? I mean, that would put him at, what, 15 majors?
I find it hard to believe that Brooks Koepka is the same odds as Matsuyama going into this. Because I feel like Koepka's fallen off. And I mean, does he even care? He's already made his money from the Live Tour, right?
So, yeah, I mean, I think he cares because it's the Masters, but I don't know. That whole thing, I try to stay away from that conversation, but
we'll definitely continue to cover that this week. It's Justin's favorite tournament. It's got something to do. I think his son was born on that day. And so it's all ties into that. And he was at the hospital and got to see the tournament. I can't remember the whole story, but I know that he gets excited for it. So we'll definitely talk more about it on Wednesday when he's here. But man, there's just so much stuff that goes on. I really wish the Masters was by itself. Yeah. I don't know how you could ever do it, but if you somehow could get it started the week before baseball began, it would be incredible.
And it's not impossible, being it's in Augusta. It does still get cold down there and things like that. But I agree with you. It would be nice if that was really the only thing going on. I mean, I mean, you and I live together. You know, I would watch the Coca-Cola Classic Open or whatever. But when it came to the Masters, U.S. Open and all that,
I try to watch as much of the majors as I can. It's been more and more difficult as years have gone on. This year is going to be darn near impossible, and I guess that's why I'm the most disappointed of the timing of the tournament, because I've got a broadcast Sunday night with the Braves playing Sunday night baseball, right? So Braves, Padres. You've got the baseball season going in full swing anyways. Sunday is Easter.
Yeah.
So what are they doing putting the Masters on Easter, right?
Yeah.
And oh, by the way, if that wasn't enough on my plate and enough to pay attention to, it's my anniversary. So what is it? I mean, it's just like trifecta here, man. It's like, what are you doing to me? Me and my wife talked about me doing the broadcast weeks ago, and she was okay with it. We were going to do some other things earlier in the day, and, you know, so I cleared that with her. But that was before we realized it was Easter. So you got to factor all that in, you know. So it's just,
I've got kids. Bad
timing for the Masters. You would, I know they always do it on this week, and I get that. But when you see the calendar and you see that it's Easter, I don't know, man.
Yeah, I mean, I'm going to be watching a lot of it on my phone so I can look down and watch it without my wife stabbing me in the neck with a fork. It does suck, though, that it's on Easter.
It does. I mean, God.
I wish it wasn't, but it is. So, and think about it. Like, say Tiger is in the final pairing, you know, if it does. And then you got family stuff, you know, and
you're going to find out what everyone's true religion is.
Yeah.
you're invited to some picnic or get together for Sunday late afternoon for Easter and Tigers. You're going to have so many people bailing.
And you're going to find out whose wives run the household.
I'm going to be pulling out an old one. I'll be like, guys, I think I got COVID. Not sure. But
I don't think my wife would buy it, but it's worth a shot, you know?
Yeah. Polio. I've got polio.
Yeah, I got Ebola or something.
I got something. You don't want to be around me.
Yeah.
Looking at this week, American League East. By the way, 10-0 Brewers over the Mets. The Giants 3-0 over the White Sox. And that could come into play pretty well for me. I might have done a little 2-team money line parlay on those two this morning. And I really like the matchup for the Giants and the Brewers. Everyone is sleeping on Peralta because he couldn't stay healthy last year. Dude, that guy is a sick, sick, mean machine when he's healthy on the mound, and he is dealing. He's into the sixth inning, 78 pitches, so he should get a quality start today. And then Disco Stick, I think he is one of the reasons why Sarge, I took a a futures bet on the Giants to win more than 81 games this year. And I just felt like, I was like, man, they won 70 something last year, right?
That's not a, it's not that big of a leap to think.
They won 106 games 2 years ago.
Yeah. They're
essentially the same team the last 2 to 3 seasons, right? So I felt like they got very fortunate 2 years ago. A lot of things went their way. You know, they got the broken base hit in the ninth inning, all that stuff. Last year didn't go their way. This year, I kind of figured there's going to be some correction where you're not going to get everyone on the IL.
And, you know, they're not playing the division players, the division teams as much as they were before. What is it, 12 games now instead of 19?
Right, which probably hurts their opportunity. But that also means that you get teams like the Tigers on your
right. They're probably talking about as far as them winning over 80 games. That's going to help them. You know, is it going to help them get closer to the World Series? Probably not. But
I put a little fun one for the Braves to win the World Series. That was 8.5 to 1, I believe is what it was. I took the Twins to win their division. I took the Giants to win their total. And the Orioles had a very low win total, 76.5, something like that. And I just think that they're really good offense. Did you know that the Orioles, so there were 70 stolen bases this weekend. Orioles had 10 of them.
Yeah, I know. I was watching that game. They
should be 2-1 right now. So yeah. I'm kind of feeling it now. The one thing that worries me about their starting pitching is just not looking good. Where I had in front of me 7.64 ERA, 15 earned runs by their three starters.
Yeah, I don't even want to know what the Red Sox were. It was bad.
Jotted down for all of them. I mean, they give up 27 runs in 3 games. The Orioles, the Red Sox. Where is it at? They're 28th in baseball with a 9 ERA.
Yeah, we gave up 19 runs in 2 games.
And the Yankees are sitting there at 3.5. And we haven't even talked about the Rays. Rays are doing Tampa Bay Rays type thing. They have a 1 ERA right now, number 2 in baseball.
Where do they find these guys?
They develop them better than just about anybody. And they're getting better at locking in guys that, you know, they have a budget, obviously, but they're spending wisely.
They just pump pitchers off an assembly line down there.
Springs is money. And look, they're doing this with Glasnow on the IL.
Jeez.
I mean, this team, you know, that's why they were my dark horse to win the division. I did take the Yankees because the Yankees are just so loaded, but it would not shock me I did take Tampa Bay to make the playoffs, but I had the Yankees beating them out in the division. My other little nugget my other wild card that I picked, they're doing pretty well. How about them Texas Rangers? 3-0.
Tell the truth. Yeah.
Philly, I don't know what they did to everybody, but they start the season off at Texas and then at Yankee Stadium. That ain't fair.
That ain't, no. And, yeah, Texas spent some money in the offseason, and it showed pretty quickly, you know.
And that was with DeGrom not playing very well.
Well, they have a chance in that division. You know, they can hold it together. They got a good chance as anybody to win that thing out. You know,
we are coming up on time. What is your walk off for the day, sir?
Well, my positive walk off. I have two. My positive walk off is it's Masters Week. I get to see the Red Sox, so life up here is good for me. My negative one is I want to know why I'm not on the opening screen. You have all the other guys talking away in their picture and videos, and I'm not on there.
What are you talking about?
I see like all the other
people. Oh, the intro?
Yeah.
Because you didn't come back on until a while ago. I put that video together. I'll figure one out.
I'm here.
Now that you rattled my cage, I'm gonna find a good picture of you to put up there.
Oh, dear God. What have I done?
What have you done? We got to run. It's the top of the hour.
All right, brother. I'll see you next week.
Yes, sir.
All right,
you're listening to WQEE 99.1 FM, The Key in Noonan, Georgia. Keep it locked in here. We'll be back in a flash.
Armchair.
You're listening to the Armchair Quarterback Sports Radio, number one sports station.
Good afternoon, and this is your Armchair Quarterback's Sports Flash. Major League Baseball owners have ratified the first minor league CBA in a 30-0 vote today. The deal is done. Here is the statement from Major League Baseball. When minor league players formally declared their intention to unionize last September, Major League Baseball opted to immediately and voluntarily recognize the players' right to unionize and began negotiations. On our first collective bargaining agreement, meetings throughout the offseason, we made tremendous progress over a short period of time. We are pleased to have reached a 5-year agreement with the players. This agreement builds upon the significant effort Major League Baseball took over 4 years ago to modernize baseball's player development system, include increased salaries, free housing, improved facilities, better clubhouse conditions, and reduced in-season travel with better geographical alignment. We look forward to a great season, end of statement. The new deal will last 5 years and more than double players' pay and comes with plenty more benefits. Jeremy Fowler is reporting Florida quarterback Anthony Richardson will visit the Las Vegas Raiders on Friday. There are among 6 official visits Richardson will be taking ahead of the draft later this month. The Raiders are meeting with Kentucky quarterback Will Levis today as they explore their potential options with the number 7 overall pick in the draft. NFL teams can host up to 30 players for interviews and medical evaluations at their own facilities, with players who live or go to college in the local area not counting towards those top 30. Richardson, 21, declared for the NFL draft following his redshirt sophomore season in 2022 as a first-time starter at the University of Florida. And the Atlanta Braves will retire number 25 worn by the legendary outfielder Andrew Jones. Jones will be honored in a special number retirement ceremony on Saturday, September 9th, before the Braves take on the Pittsburgh Pirates. One of the most successful outfielders in Braves history, Jones signed with the Braves in 1993 as an amateur free agent and made the Major League Baseball debut in August of 96. 2 months later, at the age of 19, Jones became the youngest player to hit a home run in the World Series when he posted a 2-homer game in Game 1 of the Fall Classic versus the New York Yankees. During his 12 seasons with the Braves, Andrew Jones won 10 straight gold gloves and was voted to the All-Star team 5 times. Additionally, in 2005, he won the Silver Slugger Award, the National League Hank Aaron Award, and the Major League Player of the Year. Jones finished his Major League career with 1,933 hits, 1,289 RBI, 434 home runs. He was inducted into the Atlanta Braves Hall of Fame in 2016. College basketball's men's national championship takes place tonight, 9:20 Eastern on CBS. It'll be the San Diego State Aztecs against the UConn Huskies. The Aztecs dropped 9th seed Florida Atlantic 72-71 off a buzzer beater by Lamar Butler. UConn Huskies pounded Miami 72-59. The line opened with San Diego State getting 8. It is now shifted to 7. The over-under is 132.5. In Major League Baseball, back at it again today with a full slate, your Atlanta Braves taking on the St. Louis Cardinals 7:45 Eastern on the road in Missouri. It'll be Charlie Morton versus Jake Woodford. Games this afternoon, Mets at Brewers, Giants at White Sox. We'll keep you up to date on all the action as Braves Country Today rolls along. Games of interest tonight, 7:05 Eastern, the Phillies are at the Yankees. Taijuan Walker on the mound versus Nestor Cortes. Orioles are at the undefeated Rangers at 8:05, while the 3-0 Twins or at the 1-3 Marlins, Mail versus Cueto. And that's your Armchair Quarterback Sports Flash. Stay tuned for Braves Country right here on WQEE 99.1 FM, The Key in Newnan, Georgia, simulcasting on YouTube.com at Braves Country. Tuesday Night Baseball on Braves Country HD. Atlanta Braves travel to St. Louis, Missouri, heading into Busch Stadium, 7:45 Eastern first pitch. It'll be Dylan Dodd's Major League debut. He'll be going head-to-head with the Cardinals' Steven Matz. We'll come on Braves Country HD at 7:15 Eastern for the pregame show and starting lineups. Catch pitch-by-pitch, play-by-play with your Atlanta Braves this Tuesday night, April 4th, 7:45, first pitch. Braves Country HD.
Time to live, laugh, and create memories again with MSC Cruises. Join us on some of the world's most modern and innovative ships. Discover again at our new private island, Ocean Key MSC Marine Reserve, named Best New Cruise Destination. Cruise the Caribbean and Bahamas from Miami or Port Canaveral. Book now with free balcony upgrades and flexible booking changes. Call your travel advisor or visit msccruises.com. Restrictions apply. MSC Cruises, a world of discovery.
Hey, sports fans, it's Rod Peterson here, host of The Rod Peterson Show, inviting you to join us daily for 2 hours of Atlanta's funnest sports talk right here on WQEE. I say fun because it is. You've never heard a show like it because we make the listeners a part of the show every day between noon and 2 p.m. Eastern. You'll hear plenty of the best sports talk, including the latest on the Falcons, the Braves, and more. And who knows, you might even hear you. That's The Rod Peterson Show, daily at noon, right here on WQEE 99.1 FM.
Want to chime in? Give us a call, 678-960-9700. That's 678-960-9700. Braves Country. New York Mets. They're down a touchdown in the field goal right now. It's 10-0 in Milwaukee. Got absolutely wham-bashed opening day in Milwaukee. And opening day in Chicago on the south side. The White Sox trail San Fran, Disco Stick getting it done so far. It's 3-0, but that game is just in the fourth inning. They start about an hour after the Mets and Brewers. Mets and Brewers, that game is in the top of the seventh. And they have pulled Peralta out. So it looks like, pretty sure that's Bryce Wilson on the mound. Did not realize that he went over. I thought he was with Pittsburgh, but it looks like Bryce Wilson. I'll have to double check that. The old Brave. I know he was with Pittsburgh earlier in the year, but that might have been a move made at the in the middle of spring training that I must have missed. Let me see here. Yep, he got picked up by the Brewers. So, in fact, if you go to his pictures, the first ones that pop up are Braves and Pirates. I don't even see one of him being the Brewers. So, that is old Bryce Wilson from Durham, North Carolina. Played for the Braves a couple of years ago. I think a lot of us really liked Wilson. I think the Brewers are doing with him what should have been done with him all along, and that's have him essentially in a middle relief role because he doesn't have bad stuff. Oh, Tones got here luck earlier than I thought he was going to. So let me bring Tones in as, Tones, I'll straighten up the screen here in a second. So I don't look like a giant and you look like what is the PC term now? A little person. How are you, sir?
I'm good, my man. National Championship Monday. Baseball is in the middle of things. Oh, what a beautiful, beautiful weekend it was. Just having baseball back. WrestleMania weekend. It was fantastic.
Are you excited about the game tonight?
I am, because I have UConn winning it all in my brackets. I did three brackets this year, had UConn winning it in all three of my brackets. Actually, if UConn wins, I come in first place in all three of my ESPN tournament challenge brackets, including the armchair quarterbacks one. So although I've been rooting for San Diego State to keep winning ball games to this point, tonight I sadly have to go against my guys and go with my other guys in UConn.
So are you pulling for UConn?
I am, because that's where my money's at. So give me the money. Okay.
So you took UConn minus the points?
I think that's what I'm going to end up doing. But I could hedge, because I just need UConn to win straight up, right? So in theory, I could hedge and go San Diego State money line. So just in case UConn loses and I don't win my brackets and all that money from that stuff. Then, yeah, then I could, you know, I could do a little hedge. But I'm leaning towards UConn given the points right now. I think they're that good.
Now, I'm hoping this doesn't melt down the system. But I'm trying to do something here as we speak. Let's see if this will work. So bear with me. So the line, is the line still 7?
Correct. Yes, sir.
Okay. So we got the line at 7. I grabbed San Diego State when they were at 8.
Mm-hmm.
That's when it first came out. And I noticed it. I was like, man, 8. I don't think that's going to go up. I think that's probably going to go down. And I'm glad I did it when I did it. I'll go ahead and give you my lock of the day.
If you're Let's hear it.
I like San Diego State and the over on a teaser. And you tease it as much as you want, depending on how much you want to get back. The traditional is 4-6. And it really depends on how, you know, what your book gives you and whatnot. But the over is only 132.5. And I think that's kind of low for a national title game.
Mm.
And so if you took San Diego State on the teaser, if it was a 4-point teaser, you're talking about getting them right now at 11 points. If you go up to, you know, obviously you can do the math and whatnot, but it would bring the total down to what, 128.5?
Mm-hmm.
That's pretty gettable. And I get that San Diego State has a very good defense, but UConn has been absolutely just unbelievable. And I think San Diego State, if they're going to have any prayer to win this game, they've got to score. They've got to score.
Mm-hmm.
So that's my lock of the day.
I like that one. My lock is on the diamond, if you want me to wait for it or give it.
Go ahead and throw it at us.
6:40 Eastern time. And, you know, no bias at all here, but I'm going with the Cubs straight up. They are -118 right now against the Cincinnati Reds at Cincinnati today. It's Overton for the Reds pitching, and it is Smiley for the Cubs pitching. So give me the Cubs straight up at -118 on the road against Cincinnati, looking to get to 500 after 1-2 open.
And I'm about to do something that's going about to blow your mind here.
What are we working with?
I'm some technology that I'm brand new to me. Give me a second and I'm going to be able to change your screen here in a minute.
I love it. So
I saw this advertised the other day and I didn't mess around with it because I've been so busy doing other things. But anyways, I'll be able to get it a little better. But here we go. So I'm going to go ahead and hit this and check out the new screen. Where did it go? Won't that be a kicker? Here we go.
Hey,
how about that? How about that?
Wow.
So we got the scores, but you can still see you. And it's not like, because they didn't have that as an option, but what they've started this thing, it's a new layout system. So interesting stuff. But anyways, This isn't a tutorial, so I won't get into it.
Hey, we could name it both, right? Braves Country Today and tutorial on how to set up your
device. You love those when you go into one of the YouTube videos to learn something, and they got to give you their life story at the beginning. Like, dude, would you just get to what I'm here for? I've sat through your commercial. I want to know how to do this. Don't tell me about, and they'll tell you everything else. And they'll kind of cram it in the middle, and then it's just ridiculous.
As Michael Conforto just went deep for the Giants as they open up their league to 5-0.
That's what I'm talking about, baby. I had the Brewers and the Giants on the money line this morning.
There you go, looking good so far.
Come on, let's get it.
The Mets are, I know they're looking a little old and sluggish out of the gates. The Mets a little bit.
Well, they won 3 out of the first 4, but it was against the Marlins, and now you're getting at the back end of their rotation where I think is going to be the biggest question marks. Cookie Carrasco, he is what he is. I was a little surprised that they brought him back. I thought he would be one of the guys that they would try to kick off.
Mm-hmm.
So they picked up his option, which I believe was a pricey option. I'll have to double check that. But they did that, but then they got rid of Taijuan Walker. And I'm not saying they necessarily would want to bring back Taijuan Walker, but I thought they might actually go in a totally different direction. By the way, did you watch Kodai Senga pitch?
Yeah. He, after running into a little bit of trouble in the first, he had a heck of a turnaround.
Yeah. That's that ghost fork, as they call it. And it's one of the reasons why I drafted him in a lot of my leagues. Someone else just hit a home run. The Yaz hit a home run. 6-0 Giants.
Jeez, Kopech is serving up batting practice or what?
Well, that's what he'd been doing all spring. And that was the reason why I put that as my that and the fact that I just don't believe in Cookie Carrasco. And Peralta, I feel like, is being undervalued. I mean, their opening day at home, Milwaukee, and I think they were -109. It was something like that I got them at. I was like, what? They're at home, and they got Peralta on them, and they're going against Cookie Carrasco. But a lot of that just comes down to there's always a little bit of New York bias when it comes to books.
Mm-hmm.
So Carrasco this year, I knew it was pricey. $14 million. They brought him back. 36 years old.
And they, not only that, they already brought in veteran pitcher Justin Verlander, and they brought back veteran Scherzer, who are both already very old.
Well, Scherzer still has 2 years left on his contract, so there wasn't an option there. And obviously, Verlander, they signed in the offseason. But the Carrasco thing, that was an option exercised.
I'm sorry, I worded that poorly. I meant they brought in Verlander on top of an
early. I knew what you meant. I just, for the listeners, I wanted to just, clarify. But I guess what I'm getting at is, this year alone, you've got 90. I don't remember exactly. I know it was around. I know they made about the same amount. So I'm just going to split the difference and say you have about $100 million invested in 3 pitchers that are over the age of 36 just in this season. Someone else just hit another home run. It is bad. It is literally batting practice, as you said. And it got kept still in the game.
Who hit that one? I'll look for it as well.
I think it's Estrada, but I haven't seen the back of his jersey yet. It looks like Estrada.
Yeah, let's see. Jesse Rogers.
Runs today, 4 in this inning alone. No, it was Villar. I forgot he went there.
Wow. They're even non-home run guys are having fun with the home run party over there.
Well, here's the other thing. Did you watch much of the Astros-White Sox series?
Yes, I actually did.
So the other reason, and you'll appreciate this, the other reason why I took San Fran is, A, I thought the White Sox were really jacked up for that series. So I feel like there might be a little flatness coming in. The other thing is, they dumped their bullpen out the entire weekend.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, even
they dumped their bullpen out. The Giants spit the bit yesterday and just said to heck with it. I think they're going to be more aggressive today. And so that's why I went wholeheartedly in. That was the only reason why I thought about not taking the Brewers, because they won the last two games of that Chicago series. But then I went back and looked at the bullpen usage, which is what I always do before I make a play with a baseball. I mean, obviously, I don't look at the bullpen usage in college basketball. That would be bizarre. But anyways, that I was hesitant with the Brewers until I looked at their bullpen usage. I was like, they really didn't have to go that deep. And they're up 10-0. They got runners on first and second. The Giants are up 7-0 in the fifth. And it is cold in Chicago, which I know I don't have to tell you. Or at least chilly, because everyone's got jackets on.
And that's why we love the game of baseball, right? The Giants open up against the Yankees, look like they can't get any sorts of offense going to open up the season. Here they go to Chicago, yet continue to play in cold weather, and now they have a 7-run outburst. The game of baseball is awesome.
And Judge hit 2 home runs over the weekend. I don't even think we even mentioned that yet. I mean, that's just...
I think his first at-bat of the season, he launched one to the moon.
Ozuna had a home run. Someone on Twitter asked something like, what's your overreaction from the weekend this morning? And I said, well, Judge is going to hit 100 home runs. So Ozuna's going to get 50. I mean, I'm just going by what they're on pace for, you know, right?
That's all we can go by right now, the on-pace game.
Let's go ahead and take a quick break. It's 4:20. Smoke them if you got them. We'll be back in a flash. We're going to switch gears. NFL draft, mock draft. Here we go. Tones is on the clock. We'll be back in just a moment.
Woo. I got back to the hotel at 7:30 this morning, and I went up to the desk to leave a wake-up call for 7 o'clock. The lady goes, it's past 7. No, the next one. You got another one coming around, don't you? Why don't you just put me on that one?
Tom has been a teacher for over 40 years. One day, I think one of the students had asked the question and he didn't remember the answer. And I also noticed that he was letting his class out earlier than they were supposed to let out. I was really starting to worry.
Levi and I talked about how it would change our lives, but he was there beside me.
When something feels different, it could be Alzheimer's. Now is the time to talk. Visit alz.org/ourstories to learn more. A message from the Alzheimer's Association and the Ad Council.
It's the best in sports and entertainment. And get locked in and locked down with Rhino Radio Penitentiary, 7 a.m. to 10 a.m. with your host, me, Ryan O'Neill, each and every morning right here with the best in sports and entertainment, all the way from professional sports to college sports to River Dragons hockey and everything in between, including some of the very best local and national guests. It's the Rhino Radio Penitentiary, 7 a.m. to 10 a.m. Monday through Fridays right here on 99.1 FM WQEE.
Winter is the perfect time to start planning for your healthy, pest-free spring lawn with True Green, America's number one lawn care company. True Green's science-based approach and local expertise will help give your lawn the year-round care it needs to be thick and weed-free. Go to truegreen.com/radio to save 50% on your first service. Just call 866-946-5956 or go to truegreen.com today and get a lawn to be proud of.
Hey folks, this is Mark White with The Mark White Show, and you can tune in to The Mark White Show every Saturday from 11 a.m. to 12 p.m. right here on Rock 99 WQEE The Key, the home of Southern sports and talk.
You're listening to WQEE 99.1 FM, The Key in Noonan, Georgia, home of Braves Country with Mac McGee and the Armchair Quarterbacks, weekdays, 3 p.m. Eastern to 5 p.m. Eastern, right here on The Key and youtube.com/Braves Country.
Hey, this isn't my coffee.
Where's my finely ground Kenya blend?
That's it. Daphne put an eggshell and some allspice in it.
Didn't that just dress it up?
I like it. Gives it a zing. Now,
Let us get something clear. I am not a morning person. First, I have my coffee. Sans eggshells or anything else one tends to pick out of the garbage.
Welcome back! Your 2023 mock draft is underway. Give everyone a heads up of what has gone on so far. Tones, if you can type this into the chat, chance.
Yes, sir. Right now I will be on it.
You can shorten it as much as you want. But the first pick overall was Carolina taking C.J. Stroud. That was Bobby, I believe, had that pick. Then I had the Houston pick, and I took AR-15, Anthony Richardson. I think Houston's going to try to make a splash. And Arizona. So we try to line this up where the guys who were fans of teams are going to get to pick their teams. That's why I try to, you know, we're going to creep this along as we head towards the actual draft itself. I think we'll at least get into the second round, but I try to save certain teams for certain guys. When is Tampa drafting?
19th overall.
Okay. So I'll try to work that out where you'll either pick that either, you know, Monday or maybe even Friday. It probably won't move that fast because we got the Masters and everything going on this week. But anyways, you've got Bryce Young of the Colts. That was Joey's selection, the big Colts fan. And so that's where we're at. And now Tones has the Seattle Seahawks, who acquired this from Denver. They got the number 5 pick overall, and then I'll be following them with the Detroit Lions. And before you do anything, hey, the pick is in.
And I love that. Never gets old, man. Whether you're at the draft, you're watching the draft, that's a noise that never gets old. But when you're looking at this draft, you see Seattle. They did lock up Geno Smith to a 3-year deal. Really, it's a 1-year deal with guaranteed money, then 2 option years behind that. So they could go quarterback, but in this certain scenario where you do have the Panthers taking C.J. Stroud, you have Houston taking Anthony Richardson, and you have the Colts taking Bryce Young to this point, I don't see Seattle taking Will Levis here with the 5th overall pick. Now, if they trade down and take Will Levis, that's another thing. But as of right now, if they stay at number 5, with the people gone off the board, the 3 quarterbacks and a marquee defender, I have them needing a lot of defense. They need a lot of defense. They started drafting it last year, more so in the second half of the draft. Tariq Woolen was a great pick. They got, you know, linebacker Jordan Brooks, who's incredible. I think that they need D-line. I think they need to beef it up a little bit. They only have 1 nose tackle under contract right now, and he was a rookie last season. So I think Seattle's looking around and going, who could be the best guy available when we pick at 5, who could bolster this young defense that we need a little hungriness, we need a little grittiness. I know he's had a little bit of problems to this point, but I think Jalen Carter from Georgia fits Seattle's defense perfectly. CBS came out with the report today saying his off-the-field stuff won't hurt his draft stock, according to a lot of teams and reports.
Yeah, I don't think it will. You know, the only thing that could hurt him is sometimes teams are character guys.
Mm-hmm.
And not what you're referring to, but did you see the report where he said that he will not meet with any teams that aren't drafting in the top 10?
Jeez.
That's a little presumptuous, right? I look, if it's me, I'm going to be, you're talking about money changing type of deal. What if a team that's not in the top 10 wants to trade up to get you? You ever think about that?
Right. So plenty of teams would do.
But Carter was phenomenal, dominant. We all know that. Anyone who watched Georgia football this year, very familiar with, you know, just how good he is.
So I don't think it's necessarily going to hurt him. But that, man, that right there, when I saw that, that sent up in Tennessee, I was like, whoa, what are you doing? What are you doing? Why would you even say that? Even if that's what you're thinking, you just don't put that out there. You just, you know, you don't, you didn't get a chance to meet up with him. Something happened, right? Yep. But you won't go out there because it just sounds very presumptuous. Because the big picture is, what if a team right outside the top 10 wants to trade up to get you, but they didn't meet with you, and now they're like, I don't know, man. I'm not going to deal with that kid.
Or even, you know, what if a team in the back half wants to go so much, they want to risk all that draft capital on you because that's how much they like you, but you didn't even give that team the time of day to meet with them. That would change your mind, in my opinion.
Yeah, like the whole thing, it's stupid is what it is. Like, you almost wonder, is he Lamar Jackson? Does he not have an agent? What's going on here? Like, why would an agent tell him that?
That, yeah, especially as a college kid going pro who already needs probably the best offseason possible, given him tiptoeing around a couple things, and you come out and say that.
Very, very strange.
And I mean, at one point, he was supposed to be a top five guaranteed pick. Now he's hovering around the 5 to 15 range in most mocks. But at one point, he was a home run top five pick. Now it's like, would you just maybe shut your mouth and you'll guaranteed still be at the top of the draft?
Yeah, hush your mouth while I'm talking to you. okay, so I'll move on. And I had Carter up there. If he was there, that he was actually number one on my board for the Detroit Lions. I know some folks think that they could be going quarterback. I don't think they are. I think Jared Goff played phenomenally. I think they're fine with him. Why, after all that you have acquired, why would the quarterback position be what you want to do, right? Mm-hmm. Who cares? Who cares if you – Jared Goff probably has three good seasons left. He played very well. I don't care if Dan Orlovsky doesn't like him. Dan Orlovsky did do something that Jared Goff's never done in a Detroit Lion uniform. That's walk out the back of the end zone in the middle of a play with the ball in his hand. But outside of that, I think that considering the fact, did you see that they brought back Marvin Jones to Detroit the other day?
I like that move a lot for them.
Yeah, so I think just looking at who they are and what they're trying to do, and they've got a real shot at the NFC North next year because Aaron Rodgers is not going to be there. The Bears are still building. The Vikings, I still say, was a paper tiger. They won a lot of games by a very small margin. And when you have the worst rated defense in the NFL, I don't think you're going to get as fortunate as you did last year. So I think they're going to try to see if they can build. Remember, they were essentially one win away or a loss away by, who was it, Seattle that needed to lose on that last day?
Yeah, Seattle needed, but they played the Rams, I believe.
Yeah, but they were one win away or one loss by Seattle away, however you want to look at it, to punching their ticket into the playoffs. I think Detroit's going to make another step in that direction, so I'm going defense. Defense wins championships. There's a couple of outlets that are picking defensive backs, and I don't hate the idea of grabbing Christian Gonzalez or Devin Witherspoon out of Illinois, Gonzalez out of Oregon. But I think they're going to go for an edge rusher, and I think they're going to try to bring the heat. Give me Miles Murphy from the Clemson Tigers. Because I watched that kid up close and personal for the last few years. He is a game changer. He's every bit the athlete that Will Anderson is.
I like that pick a lot. And I was thinking about him. I was thinking about picking him for Seattle. This guy has it all. So that's a tremendous pick. I think Detroit would be very happy with that.
Yeah, I don't think you can go wrong with him or Jalen Carter. I mean, we're talking the top cream of the crop. As long as you don't do something ridiculously off hinge, the first 10 picks, they should be game changers.
And that's the other thing about all these teams needing quarterbacks, the Richardsons, the Youngs, the Strouds going to the top of the draft. Not saying they're 100% not deserving, but for teams like Detroit and Seattle, they end up becoming the winners because that means all the good players who are non-quarterbacks keep on getting bumped down a little bit.
So this is almost like a fantasy draft in my mentality. You're grabbing the top three quarterbacks. Why am I going to chase you and go grab a quarterback? Why don't I improve my team elsewhere and go get the best player available?
Mm-hmm.
And I'm sorry, but Will Levis is not the best player available when you still have Carter and you've got Murphy on the board and a few other guys.
Van Ness from Iowa. And now I keep getting more and more scared because I keep seeing Levis mock to the Bucks all the way at 19 all of a sudden.
At the 19th pick, that's a good pick.
I'm not saying it's not, but you know, it's just I feel like there's more needs on the team. I know it's
honestly, if I'm Tampa, I don't pick a quarterback and I see how bad I am this year, and maybe you're so bad that you get one of the top picks next year and then you go quarterback, right?
Drake May and Caleb Williams are sitting there next year.
Or glass half full. What if Kyle Trask ends up being the real deal? He was a very good college quarterback. What if he ends up being the real deal? And you find out we don't kind of like Detroit. We don't need a quarterback. We need other things. So yeah, they're in a rebuild in Tampa. Don't get me wrong, but I'm not stretching. It doesn't mean that I'm Tampa. I don't take a quarterback later in the draft.
Mm-hmm.
Sure. But my number one pick, I mean, if I'm going to do that, to be honest, Tones, I'm going to trade up and try to get one of the big three.
Exactly. At that point, if you're settling for a QB at 19, I know it's quote-unquote good value, but at that point, there's a reason why Levis probably fell to 19 with a couple other quarterback questionable needy teams still up there, like an Atlanta, like a Seattle, and you know a couple others, right? I mean, if they would pass on a Will Levis, to me, the Bucs should as well. I think there's a ton more needs for this Tampa team. And like you said, if you're going to get a quarterback, have the cojones, trade up, and actually go get your guy. Don't let it be the one to fall to you at 19.
Absolutely. If you're just joining us and you can't see let me get that off the screen. You can't see the screen as you're driving down the road listening to 99.1 FM, the Key. Brewers all over the Mets, 10-0. That game is heading to the bottom of the eighth, and Cookie Carrasco was on the mound. And Giants 7-0 over the White Sox as Kepik got pounded, and Disco Pick was on the mound for the Giants. So,
feels I know like a lot of Sox fans around here are starting to wonder about Michael Kepik. You know, they're saying, "Hey, He has potential, but he hasn't really squandered it yet. Will he ever?"
I really feel like they ought to be putting him in the bullpen at this point. He just doesn't seem like – look, it's a lot easier to develop a guy like Kepik with his top side when you only have to make sure that he's bringing the heat and developing essentially two pitches, right?
Mm-hmm.
And I'm not even saying that he should be the closer. I'm not going that far. I'm saying put him in the sixth, seventh inning, right? But, I mean, at this point, you kind of made your bed. I don't know. I'm not familiar with the White Sox farm system, who they could bring up. But unless there's someone on the trash heap out there, what do you do with that starting position?
And I always thought they should have brought back Johnny Cueto. The White Sox should have
had
some very cheap depth.
Yes. That was a very bad mistake.
And it's not like he cost a lot of money for the Marlins. So.
No. Now he probably gave them a break because he's not having to pay the kind of taxes in Illinois or pay the kind of taxes in Florida as he does in Illinois. But still, it wouldn't have made that big of a difference.
Correct. I hear you 100%.
Real quick before we switch gears over to the national title game, Masters. Who are you liking going into the Masters?
You know, I'm one of those guys in golf who, when I'm watching these things, I'm always obviously rooting for my favorite guys. So if I had to root for somebody, I would pick Xander Schauffele. And that's who I'd go with to win as well. His odds are middle of the pack. I think he has the 7th or 8th best odds. So, you know, there's the Scottie Schefflers of the world, the Rory McIlroys that are the favorites, the John Rahms right about now. I'm going with the quote-unquote middle of the packer, although he's one of the top golfers in the world. His odds are 22-1. Give me Xander Schauffele right about now.
Yeah, I'm leaning towards Rahm at the 9-1. We talked about that in the first hour. There's a couple other guys. I'll end up giving my win, place, and show Wednesday before it all starts. But I'm leaning towards that, and I mentioned it last hour. There's no way I'm not putting $5 on a 65-1 for the Tiger Woods, you know, miracle to come in and win another Masters. I don't think he will. He's not playing that kind of golf right now, but it's kind of hard to turn that down.
Mm-hmm.
Matsuyama, I'm interested in. I think what was it, 35-1, something like that. And there's a couple others of interest, but we'll get more into that as the week rolls along. We got to take a quick break. When we come back, we're going to talk a little NL Central and the national title game of college basketball. And it's going to be a good one because the Miami Hurricanes ain't in it. All right, we'll be back in a flash here on Braves Country and Braves Country HD, wherever you stream. Tuesday Night Baseball on Braves Country HD. Atlanta Braves travel to St. Louis, Missouri, heading into Busch Stadium, 7:45 Eastern first pitch. It'll be Dylan Dodd's Major League debut. He'll be going head-to-head with the Cardinals' Steven Matz. We'll come on Braves Country HD at 7:15 Eastern for the pregame show and starting lineups. Catch pitch-by-pitch, play-by-play with your Atlanta Braves this Tuesday night, April 4th, 7:45, first pitch. Braves Country HD.
It's the best in sports and entertainment. And get locked in and locked down with Rhino Radio Penitentiary, 7 a.m. to 10 a.m. with your host, me, Ryan O'Neill. And every morning, right here with the best in sports and entertainment, all the way from professional sports to college sports to River Dragons hockey and everything in between, including some of the very best local and national guests. It's the Rhino Radio Penitentiary, 7 a.m. to 10 a.m., Monday through Friday, right here on 99.1 FM WQEE.
Here's good news. There's still a need for hundreds of thousands of cybersecurity professionals in the U.S. right now. And My Computer Career is training people to help meet the demand. No IT experience? No problem. Take the free career evaluation today. Start your new life as an IT pro in as little as 4 months. Grants covering up to 53% of the cost are available to those who qualify. It's not rocket science. It's mycomputercareer.edu.
Hockey season, and that means new merch over at ourdragonsmerch.com. Get the latest designs and some of our fun new souvenirs ahead of what's sure to be a great hockey season. Celebrate another season of River Dragons hockey by getting a new look to wear on game days, or surprise the big-time sports fan in your life with a new keepsake that will make them a River Dragons fan for life. Order online right now at ourdragonsmerch.com. That's the letter R, dragonsmerch.com. We'll see you at the rink.
If you put your effort and concentration into playing to your potential, to be the best that you can be. I don't care what the scoreboard says at the end of the game. In my book, we're going to be winners. Okay? All right! Let's go! Let's go! Let me hear it!
Are you listening?
Welcome back. Find a way to win tonight. We'll be back in first place as the Mets are getting pounded in Milwaukee, 10-0.
Whew.
By the way, I finally blocked Jockey. I'm done with that. Nuts.
that guy.
Dude, I can't deal with this all year long. Just his freaking gambling Tourette's that he just freaking blurts out randomly. And I think it's important so I get a notification. I go, oh, jeez, this idiot again. I finally had to let the guns blaze and bring up his 30% win percentage.
I think we put him through the gauntlet that one day.
Yeah, after I did that, I gave him a couple hours. He never responded, so I was like, all right, that's it. I'm done. I was going to give him a chance to respond, and then just, I already made up my mind I was going to block him. I was like, I'm going to give him a chance to respond, and it went 2-3 hours. I went, all right, I'm done with him.
And I think America agrees with you there, because his follower count went from around 20,000. Now it's sitting around 11,000. So a lot of people.
Well, now he's got a he started another GoFundMe since they took the other GoFundMe off, because they felt like that he wasn't doing the right thing with his GoFundMe. Because originally Boomer and Geo brought up the GoFundMe to try to help him get his teeth fixed or whatever.
Mm-hmm.
And I always found it funny because there's always someone chiming in, because I don't know because he's talking about how successful he is in the betting world. And people would come in and goes, I don't know how many successful bettors are walking around with no teeth. I'm like, what are we talking about here? Right. And I don't want to make fun of that part, but it is, I mean, it's true. Right. But now he's tried to start another GoFundMe. I forget how he had it worded, but I saw it and I was like, oh, this guy, he's just trying to get anyone to give him money, because he was trying to charge for his picks and I don't think anyone was buying him. So now he's got this GoFundMe at the top of his page. Dude, there's like one like nobody.
His career is what you call, I mean, he had no career really to begin with in the betting world, but talk about just taking momentum and killing it yourself as fast as you can. That's exactly what he did.
A meteoric rise and crash all in about 6 weeks.
It was entertaining as heck to follow for that 6 weeks, just because the avalanche and then Boomer ended him so roughly. It was honestly pretty hilarious how the show handled him, and then you just fell into oblivion. And it's sad to say he lost it, man. On Twitter, he completely lost it.
I don't know if he ever had it, man. Like his, it's funny that to hear all the knuckleheads come in with their opinions of, well, the reason why you're not winning is because you're picking more than one game a day, and you had your success like when you're only doing one game a day. And I'm like, what success? Like, he told you he had this big winning experience, but since everyone started paying attention to his picks, he's been terrible. He's been awful.
Pressure caught up.
I went back and counted it up about a week ago, and it was just over 30%. And he didn't do very well since, you know, he got his notoriety, and he didn't do very well over the weekend. I know that because even though he tried to claim that he got the, first of all, something didn't make any sense because he was calling it the run line. So I'm like, you're just lying at this point. But he was talking about the team total. Run line is baseball. He was referring to basketball. But he claimed that he hit his bet. That's not true, because I went back a couple of tweets several hours before. His bet that he picked was San Diego State -2.5. And anybody who watched that game knows they didn't cover the spread because they won by one on a buzzer beater.
Mm-hmm.
And he came in with his old cha-ching thing. And I'm like, but you didn't. What are you talking about? You lost. You might have won. You might have done a secondary bet to you by yourself. But that's not what you share. What you shared is your pick of the day. Like, I do all that all the time, where I'll have a secondary bet that I hit. You won't hear me refer to it because that's not the one I gave you. So what are we talking about? At that point, you could just be lying left
right. And those secondary bets people like me and you take, usually, you know, those odds are a little dumbed down too, for whatever reason, whatever you're doing with it, or you just don't feel as good about that game. If you're taking a -2.5 in money line, although you don't win as much, you might as well have just locked the money line then instead of the -2.5. It's totally different. You didn't hit the bet. They won. Yeah. Once.
If I didn't speak it on the show or tweet it out, I'm not going to reference it.
Correct.
I'm gonna do it in a text, you know, with y'all, you know, with buddies and stuff, right? But you know, that's a different animal. But I'm not gonna sit here. I do know Steven hit. I think it was opening day. He hit his DFS lineup. I don't know how much he put in, but he won 200. So I don't know if it was. Normally he does really, really cheap ones. So I'm thinking it was a $1 or $5 deal.
Hey, money better than nothing. At least he was able to win one.
I mean, that's a pretty darn good return. Now, will you continue to win? I don't do a lot of DFS because I think they're sucker bets.
Mm-hmm.
Because you are going up against a draft one, I'll do. So I feel like I have a decent chance if I'm going head to head with five or six people.
Mm-hmm.
But the tournaments I won't do because you are dealing with a boat ton of these guys who do it professionally, and they sit in their basement for hours. I've seen these documentaries, and they have it broken down to who they're picking in the lineup every day. And they start that research the morning, the day before. You have no chance unless you just get super lucky.
Mm-hmm. Pretty much.
You're not smarter than a computer, no matter who the hell you think you are. I'm just going to put that out there.
Yeah. I don't care if you're Stump the Schwab and 40 former presidents combined. You are not outsmarting that piece.
Not with that many variables. No way. Mm-hmm. Every once in a while, I'll play DFS more so in football sometimes, but it's like a buck, and I'm just like, eh, whatever. I'm bored, right? But I don't do it because, and that's why any kind of DFS, always give it to Steven to talk about because he does a lot more of it. You know, I'll do more fantasy football DFS than I do baseball. Baseball, to me, it's all about there's prop bets I'll go after, there's run lines, there's money lines, there's, you know, the actual run line itself, but no, thank you.
Yeah, remember that thing MLB used to do called Beat the Streak? That thing seems so easy to win.
Yeah, they still have it, but it's called something else now, and I have forgotten to do it. I every time I get into one, and even if I get like a 5-game streak and then it loses, then I forget about it for like 6 weeks and go, oh man, I forgot all about that.
Same here.
I actually saw the app on my phone the other day. I was like, man, I forgot. And they changed the name. I can't remember what it is. I was like, man, I forgot all about that.
Yeah, I remember I used to do that. But to build off your point, even something for free like that you could get into, to me, it's almost not worth the time because it's so hard at the end of the day.
Yeah, I mean, if you're doing it, you know, as they call it, a stinker tinker, you know, when you're, you know, just tinkering around on your phone in the mornings, you know, as you're, you know, doing your morning business, you know, okay, fair enough. But if you're like trying to take it seriously, it's like, man, there's something wrong with you, dude. I do remember like three or four, you know what? You know, it was before pandemic. So 2019, 2018, somewhere in that area, there was a kid that came on to MLB Network and he was either one game from tying the 56 or he was one game from beating the 56. And they brought him on to interview him, and he didn't get it. I do remember because I do remember following it that day. I was like, man, that'd be cool. I'm pulling for this kid. And he didn't get it. And all I could think of was like, you know, everyone's very superstitious in baseball. You had not been on MLB Network 55 consecutive days. You decided to pick the day that you could beat the streak to come on. No. Right. I'd be like, hey, bro, you hit me up tomorrow if I make it.
Right, because now it's like, oh, there's the kid that almost beat the streak.
Isn't it like 5.6 million? It's something absurd.
It is, and you know,
it should be 56 million. You know how hard that is to pick a guy to get a base hit 56 days in a row?
Near impossible.
Yeah.
I would double up. That you'd think it's so easy because you're like, oh, I'll pick Otani this day. I'll pick, you know, Ozzy Albies this day. And then next thing you know, it's like, oh, they just went 0 for 5.
I think the longest I ever got my streak on any of those was just past double digits, like 12, you know, somewhere in that neighborhood. And then I would lose. I'm like, I did I lose? I mean, I feel like I did pretty good. What I should have been doing is I should have taken that money, or I should have taken money and bet a prop on that player each day.
Correct. What I would always do, I'd always win like two or three days in a row. And then I remember you, some nights you could pick more than one guy to get a hit. And I'd always get a hot head then. Oh, I'll pick two guys to get a hit tonight. And then, it just would never happen.
Yeah. It's been so long since I've done it regularly. I remember I was always taking Freddie Freeman. Because he was money to get a base hit.
Right.
I would never put Acuna in there because you're just playing with fire. Because he's either going to get two home runs or he's going to strike out five times. You're going to be like, oh, man. I was always trying to get a guy that I knew was just trying to slap the ball into the field.
Like a Wander Franco type right now.
Yeah.
I'd pick a guy like that if I were playing, but I'm not.
Nice to meet you, Ro. All right, college basketball, because we're going to run out of time. National title. I'm still showing seven. I don't know what you're seeing on your book, but I'm seeing seven is the line. Connecticut by seven. Line is 132. So it's gone down. That's interesting to me. I just feel like that's a low over for a national title game.
I agree with that. And I'm using a local book, Bet Rivers, and mine is still at seven and 132 as well.
So I told you my pick. I'm going San Diego State in the over on a teaser. What was your lock? Is a baseball lock?
Yes, sir. It was the Cubs over the Reds straight up. The Cubs are minus 118 straight up today. That game's at 6:40 Eastern. Drew Smyly against Overton.
So what's the over in that game?
The over-under in that game, I believe it was 7.5. It's 9. It's 9.
This morning it was 8 or 8.5. I thought about taking the over, but I didn't have enough time to check the weather. Because if I'm going to do over-under, I'll always check the weather in that city. Because I want to know, like, is it raining? Is it cold? You know, if it's beautiful, let's go. But I still think that over is probably going to hit.
I agree. Overton had a couple nice starts last year. Don't get me wrong. Then he got hurt, put on the shelf, and wasn't the same. And actually didn't pitch at the end of the day. But guys like Smyly and Overton, they could eat innings. But you like the over when you hear names like that on the bump, especially in Great American Small Park.
I do think the Braves are going to win tonight if anyone wants to take that action. They're minus 120. I get it. It's in St. Louis, number one. The Braves have owned the Cardinals recently. So they've got that going forward, plus Charlie Morton on the mound versus Jake Woodford. And Woodford's been a decent little bullpen guy the last couple of years. He's been in and out of AAA. But Charlie Morton didn't pitch terribly in spring training, and he pitched much better his last two outings. So minus 120, I think that's a little undervalued. Tomorrow's going to be a tough one with Dylan Dodd on the mound. I'll be interested to see what that line is. But we'll be doing the show here 3 to 5, and then we've got the 7:45 first pitch on Braves Country HD. And pregame show will probably come on. We'll probably come on Braves Country HD around 7:15. I'm trying to get on around a half hour before the game starts. A little pregame action. What is your walk-off for the day, sir?
Enjoy the championship game tonight. I know it's a little late in my walk-off to allude to that. It's college basketball. Fix your championship game start time. They start a little too late for my liking. Some people got to wake up early the next
9:20, man. That's tough. At least you get at 8:20 in your neck of the woods. There's no way I'm staying up for that. We're talking about practically midnight, and I have to get up at 6 a.m. If I'm being lazy, I should be getting up at 5:30, 5:45. But there's no way I'm staying up for that. Not for two teams that I don't care about.
And we know as sports fans, it takes a minute to unwind after a game like that.
Yeah, exactly. That's the other thing. It's just what I'm probably going to do is get up a tad early tomorrow morning and watch it then. It's probably what I'm going to do because That's the smartest way to do it. Just go to sleep, stay away from the tip off and go to bed, then get up a little early, and then you can fast forward through everything and you can watch the game in about an hour.
Commercial free.
We got to run my walk off. We'll see you tomorrow. Braves Country 3-5. Then of course, Braves Country baseball tomorrow, 7:45 versus the Cardinals. We got a jam. Keep it locked in here on the Key. It's 5 o'clock somewhere. Go drink you something cold. We'll see you manana.
Woo-hoo. Goodbye, sweetheart. Well, it's time to go. We're back tomorrow with another show.
Well, unless we're fired, we'll talk to you then. Goodbye, sweetheart. Goodbye.
Guys and gals, it's time to go. We'll see you on the next show.
Same bat time, same bat channel.
Thanks for listening to Braves Country with Mac McGee and the Armchair Quarterbacks on 99.1 FM WQEE, The Key in Noonan, Georgia, and simulcasting on youtube.com/@Braves Country. Braves Country comes your way weekdays, 3 p.m. Eastern to 5 p.m. Eastern. Please follow, like, and subscribe today. Armchair Quarterback Radio, your first choice for Southern sports.
Something of the 5th of September. Something of the 5th of September. She said a lot that I can't remember. Something of the 5th. Can I get another cigarette, please? Can I get another cigarette, please? Yeah, I know I live to regret it. Just give me another cigarette, please.
You're listening to WQEE 99.1 FM, The Key in Noonan, Georgia. Tuesday night baseball on Braves Country HD. Atlanta Braves travel to St. Louis, Missouri, heading into Busch Stadium, 7:45 Eastern first pitch. It'll be Dylan Dodd's Major League debut. He'll be going head-to-head with the Cardinals' Steven Matz. We'll come on Braves Country HD at 7:15 Eastern for the pregame show and starting lineups. Catch pitch-by-pitch, play-by-play with your Atlanta Braves this Tuesday night, April 4th, 7:45, first pitch. Braves Country HD.